Downloads of this show are available on Podomatic.com and the Podomatic mobile app.
What is Love Radio Show is sponsored by Fantasy App. Fantasy is a safe space to communicate about your fantasies and passions without fear of judgment. It is a dating app for open-minded couples and singles to experiment with your desires that don't have to be secret anymore.
Hello, 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 hello. This is What is Love Show on Radio Free Brooklyn. Thank you all for listening to Radio Free Brooklyn. I know it's a crazy day. Mexico killed Germany in the World Cup. It's a beautiful day out. Probably some of you are on the beach, on Rockaways or Fort Tilden. You still can tune in to Radio Free Brooklyn. You can access our station from anywhere in the world where there is internet. So if you're trying to get your sexy tan for the summer, go on your iPhone or Google Pixel and type in radiofreebrooklyn.com and click play now to get some love and Reiki healing from What is Love Show. That's right. Today's topic is demystifying Reiki and healing energy through using hands. That might sound a bit crazy to the people who have no experience with energy work or any sort of healing, non-conventional healing, I would say. The reason why I picked this topic for today's show is, to me, Reiki is something that everyone knows about. Everyone has tried at least once. But a few days ago, I realized that my coworkers didn't know what Reiki was, and I was almost mind blown. And I decided to do an actual show about Reiki because this is such a beautiful and fundamental, I want to stress this, fundamental technique to help you with a lot of the emotional, physical and spiritual endeavors. And I'm really excited to introduce my beautiful guest today. I'm going to test their beautiful voices on the mics. So, Lorraine goes by Amber Radiance.
Amber Radiance.
Ooh,
yes.
You sound so good. Mm-hmm. I love that. Thank you so much, Lorraine. Lorraine came all the way from Bronx to Bushwick on Sunday. The Bronx. So you guys should really respect that. And another beautiful guest is Nicole. Well, she goes by Cole. Do you use your middle name in the...
It's in the Nicole Lynn Hooley.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So she said that. And Cole, she's based in Greenpoint. So she's taking care of all the beautiful Reiki healers and the clients in the Brooklyn area and I guess Manhattan. So we've got the entire New York City covered just in the studio for the Reiki healing. First of all, thank you so much for coming to Bushwick, to What Is Love Show. And I'm really excited about today's show. So let's start with just what is Reiki, right? So for the people out there who still, can you believe that there are people who don't know what Reiki is? What is Reiki? If you were to explain what Reiki is to your, I don't know, grandma or to your younger niece or nephew, like what is Reiki? Who wants to go first?
I'll go. Reiki is a Japanese healing technique of reducing stress in the body so that your natural healing process can kick in. And it's kind of broken down into two concepts, which are Rei, which means universal life force or universal energy. And then there's Ki, which means life force energy. So we all have life force energy in our body that we can access and heal people with. But Reiki healers tend to actually be connecting to the universe. So it's not their personal energy that's healing people. It's something bigger than themselves.
So for the Christians out there, is there anything contradictory to the God in this practice?
There's absolutely nothing. I think the idea for most folks has to be that it's energy. And just like any energy, you have electricity. It can be used to harm someone or to heat your home. So this energy, especially when you're dealing with someone who has taken a Reiki training and has kind of been on this kind of path, what you're trying to do is channel as much positive energy to assist the client in being able to come to their own. I mean, for me personally, it's also for assisting the client to come to those things that they need to know about themselves, about their bodies, and kind of starting to take control over it as opposed to saying, well, you know, there's nothing I can do about this pain or how I'm feeling, but finding a way that is practical that eventually you can learn to do for yourself, which is the other beauty of it.
Mm-hmm. So, Lorraine, you already mentioned types of the clients who come to Reiki practice. Those are with physical pain, those are with emotional pain. So why would anyone ever consider Reiki?
So just to go back to the other question about it, dogma, just to be very clear, there's no dogma attached to Reiki. It's a practice that any other spiritual belief could fit into, which is why it's so special. And then as far as healing, you could come because you're having emotional distress. You could come because you're in physical pain. You could come because you are suffering from a heartbreak. It's really anything where you feel like you're in any sort of distress and you need help from someone else, and then a Reiki practitioner acts as that channel for you to actually accept help from the universe.
Awesome. I love this. I mean, I don't even need an explanation of what Reiki is. I just wanted to make sure that our audience out there who's listening to Radio for Brooklyn has a good understanding of what Reiki is. By the way, if anyone has a question to Lorraine or Cole or who would like to share any of their own Reiki experiences, you can call us on the show and direct line is 718-928-9732. Awesome. Well, ladies, I'd love to understand how each of you came to the Reiki practice. It's not that one day you just woke up and decided, oh, you know, Reiki, A fancy Japanese word. Why don't I try that? Could each of you share your personal journey towards this practice?
Well, personally for me at the time, I first came across Reiki back in 1994, 1995.
Wow. You're a Reiki veteran.
Yeah. I've watched a lot of things change. At the time, I was going through some issues with problems with my uterus and precancerous conditions and going through different types of treatments. And I just kind of felt that there had to be something more to my getting healed or to being healed. I didn't quite appreciate the way the doctors handled it. So that's kind of what started it.
So the doctor didn't give you the actual solution to your conditions, or the way they were even discussing those issues with you wasn't satisfying to you? I just feel this is important because a lot of people could relate to that.
You know, I think what happens is when we go to traditional medicine, and there's nothing that I'm saying against it. I think everybody needs to, yes, go to the doctor, get checked, and so forth. But I think there's a point at which medical personnel do not think outside of the box or outside of the line, outside of how you're mentally feeling with regards to what's going on in your own body. And when I came across Women Are Healers, which is a book that had different types of healers in it, and I came across the Reiki, I just thought that it made sense to me. I can't give you anything more logical than that. I mean, I got a very clinical treatment from a physician. Okay, fine, we're going to treat it with this and this and this and that. But I personally just kind of felt like, you know, there's got to be something more that puts a little bit more of the control in my hands. And learning more about Reiki and the idea of channeling that energy, and even channeling and doing the visualizations of Reiki on my abdomen, I think was very critical in my situation being healed. Ultimately.
Wow. So you right away felt that there's something out there that is more original and natural to you personally than the external tools of contemporary medicine.
Yeah, I totally felt that there had to be something more.
You probably were already very attuned to your inner self. That's great. All right, so then from that, you start reading more and you decided to take the Reiki course.
Reiki courses, mm-hmm. Reiki 1, Reiki 2. Mm-hmm. Took them downtown on 14th Street. It was mm-hmm. lovely. It was a different type of experience, you know. I'm Latinx, Puerto Ricana, and forget about anybody in my inner circle knowing anything about this. Yeah. So it was really kind of mind-altering. And again, it's something that's so innate. It's so much it's just innately part of us. And I think just through being born, especially as women, we've lost our connection to our abilities to heal, to learn about healing, to support one another, to deal with feelings and emotions. And Reiki kind of, for me, just kind of like was able to do that and do it in such a way where, you know, I've done other spiritual type work where kind of like you're taking someone's pain to release it. Whereas with Reiki, you know, the energy itself is assisting the person in releasing what they have to release. And you can have a healing that can take place on a lot of different levels. Mm-hmm. It can be physical, it can be mental. Mm-hmm. You know, and that in of itself, I'm not going to tell someone I'm going to cure you of any serious illness, but there may be some lessons that you need to learn that kind of open your mind so that the healing process that you're going through can also take place.
Sure. Thanks, Lorraine, for sharing that. So you went to study Reiki and become a Reiki practitioner without even trying Reiki on yourself.
Oh, no.
Or your first.
No. Oh, Liv, I'm sorry. I really should have jumped back to that. Like most people, if I got to try something before I decide this is what I'm going to do, I had to find out. So the only way to really understand Reiki isn't by what you read. It isn't, it's really the experience of it, because a lot of times for most of us, since we don't live in that kind of world, the idea of being totally relaxed, the idea of feeling the sensations of heat or of release, all of those things were just like, what is that? You know? So, no, the first woman I met, I did Reiki with her and with the woman that I actually, ultimately ended up doing my trainings. I had done one or two sessions with her first to actually experience the energy, to experience her, to see what that was like. And that was really what sealed the deal, that it was something that I really needed to learn.
So you felt right away that it's actually going to work on you, and you decided to proceed with this practice more seriously, went on getting your training. Okay. And did you then start practicing Reiki on others right away? Did you quit your job?
No, I didn't quit my job.
Conditioning point.
Because I did not get into Reiki to make money. The idea for me was about, I know that sounds bizarre, right? Back in the 90s. Yeah. But I think I did it more to learn about this alternative method to be able to promote relaxation and healing, which I think is the first part of actually healing the body and the mind. And I started really doing it with family members, because once I did it for myself, it was kind of like, okay, if I touch you, let's see what you feel. So I had to test it out. And of course, all of my family members and friends became my initial guinea pigs.
even the skeptics? Like, did you have any skeptics in your family?
Absolutely. Uh-huh. You know, I've got my Didi Eva, who says, you know, you say a prayer and it's Hail Mary and Our Father. God bless her. But when she actually had the experience of feeling it, she was like, ooh, this is nice. So being able to experiment, and maybe experiment isn't the right word, but being able to have the opportunity to work with different people, different age groups, different levels of understanding. I mean, it's not like you have to be some, you know,
gifted, enlightened
person. Human. It's really, really not about that. Actually, the fact that you're not is probably going to be very helpful in getting you there. And I find the people that are coming to me now are people that have kind of gotten to a point where they're looking for something deeper, something more. Mm-hmm. With regards to their lives, their relationships, they have physical issues, but they still are looking for something more that a lot of traditional practices don't offer. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the primary positive of dealing with Reiki and this type of healing energy.
Awesome. Thank you so much for sharing your story. And then we'll get back later to what you currently do in Bronx. Cool. Hello, darling. I know you have a quite a different story of coming to Reiki, and we'd love to hear that.
So basically, a spiritual breadcrumb trail led me to Reiki. When I was in high school, I actually was incredibly depressed and had a very difficult time wanting to be on Earth. And gradually, after a few near-death experiences, I started to seek something deeper. And I just was really fascinated by the universe and what was really going on there. Also, just having experiences where I started to realize what I was really craving was a deeper connection with people, and it wasn't to party. It wasn't to distract myself from being alive. It was going deeper. So through studying and philosophy and religion, wasn't finding necessarily the thing. It was everything but the thing. That it was a lot of like, you need a
framework for the thing, but not the thing itself.
The thing wasn't there. And then eventually became a yoga teacher. Long distance between that. So there's like a lot of years. And while I was studying to be a yoga teacher, one of my teachers actually placed her hands on me in a yoga class. And I thought her hands were still on me and she was across the room. And the first time I was just like, wait, hold on, what's going on? There's something really
magical
in the universe. And I didn't jump into it right away. If someone offered me a Reiki treatment, I would accept it. But I wouldn't necessarily seek it out because I wasn't completely sure that I wanted to go there. I didn't know if it was like witchcraft. I don't know, you know, like, and I was just trying to find, my goal in life is to just kind of access truth, and to feel good and to feel love and to feel connected. But eventually that teacher offered me a free Reiki training and I accepted. And eventually someone asked me to take a Reiki master training and that they would front me the money because they wanted me to teach it at their space. And I accepted. And
Did they see, could they foresee a, you know, a big Reiki talent in you? That's just amazing.
It was just kind of like, for me, it was just the universe being like, this is the thing, this is the thing, this is the thing that you've been searching for. And so in school and, all, you know, it's all these experiences being described. And with Reiki, I just was able to feel that without needing to do a million sun salutations. I didn't need to.
You're so lucky, Cole. You don't even know. Like, I'm trying to knock the universe. Please show what is my tool. What is my path? But
you're doing it. This is it, bringing information like this to people that normally wouldn't have access.
But I love how it just clicked, you know, how the universe was showing, almost bringing it to you on the plate. Cole, yes, here's a free training for you. You got to take it, girl. There's no free shit in New York. Take it. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. So you did the training and then you got your master.
Yeah. And then I did a bunch more trainings after that because I was trying to, you know, I wanted to learn more about it. And what I realized was that it was much more simple than I was capable of understanding. And the more simple I let it be, all it is asking the universe for help, basically, the more simple I allowed it to be, the less I kept seeking, because it was the same thing I was doing with philosophy and religion. I was trying to seek the answers, and the answer is already in you. It's something we've always known, and Reiki just gives us like a really fast, like step one, step two, step three. Okay, you got it. And I just love that I get to teach people how to access that on a regular basis, and that if they aren't ready to access it on their own, I can be a facilitator for that.
Wow. That sounds profound.
It feels pretty profound.
Yeah. Wow. Thank you for doing that. It's so beautiful to, you know, to bring, to be willing to bring the truth into your own life and in others' lives. That's just beautiful. I just kind of wanted to, not to let this skip, but you mentioned, you know, you were heavily depressed and had nearly, you know, death thinking sensations and experiences. Is it, do we all kind of have to go through a traumatic or negative experience in our lives in order to get to that spiritual calling or to that awakening, like awakening call? Why is it always so painful?
I don't know if we all have to. I think some people might be born already connected and knowing.
Have you met those people?
Not really.
I've met a couple.
Yeah?
Yeah.
But where do they reside? In Bronx?
Yeah. No, they're there. But just to kind of follow up on what you were saying, if I can keep my train of thought, because so much is like
so much energy, right? In this tiny studio.
No, it feels really good, and I brought my amethyst just to make sure we could keep in a healing vein here. I think a lot of times opportunities present themselves in our lives, and for whatever reason, we may not be ready. And so sometimes that trauma acts as the catalyst to taking us to where we need to be. And I think in terms of Reiki, you know, at that time of your life, that it had to be your answer and the things that you had gone through. You know, and I think there's a point, too, where, you know, do I keep doing the same thing? If the same thing isn't working, then let's find something else. And I think the traumas, I don't think it's about that you have to go through so much pain, but I think sometimes we're getting the message. You know, we're being guided and we're going, duh, and we're going the other way. So sometimes the trauma acts as being the catalyst that gets us to finally kind of open our eyes and open our hearts to seeing, okay, what have I missed? And let me try this. So I think it serves a purpose ultimately.
Yeah, thanks, Lorraine. So, Cole, do you feel grateful for having those dark years in your life?
I'm thankful all the time. I mean, I'm thankful I'm alive, obviously, but I realize that I wouldn't have been receptive enough if I didn't give up. Like, if I didn't have those moments of just being like, okay, I'm done, I can't do this anymore, I wouldn't have been in a place where I could receive that kind of guidance and flow in that way. And I do think sometimes it's those moments when we're in pain, when we're deeply sick, when we're deeply in need, that we will receive whatever it is. And if life's going fine, you know, you're just going to keep living from the ego.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, now we're starting a conversation about ego. Sure. ego, when will you die? Okay, great. So you finished your Reiki. Can you speak about if anyone would like to become a Reiki healer, what is the process? And I also know that you personally call that you teach, you don't just see clients, but you also teach Reiki courses to those who would like to become a Reiki healer. Could you describe the process a bit?
So if you're interested in being a Reiki practitioner, you want to go to a Reiki 1 class, at Reiki level 1, and they can be presented in lots of different ways based on who the lineage is attached to. It can vary from one long day. In my school, Glowing Heart Reiki, we have like an 8-hour day, and that's Reiki 1. Or you can do it over 4 days, and it will be a bunch of short periods with lots of attunements. Or you can, and it can vary anywhere in between. And during that day, you learn how to practice the Reiki principles, which is basically the way to think in your daily life so that you don't get sick, so that you're happy, so that you feel good. You learn how to activate Reiki, which kind of looks like namaste and just learning to breathe a little bit in some of the schools. And then you learn the history of Reiki, where it came from, the founders, the original Reiki master from the Usui method of natural healing. I like to treat it like a ceremony. The day is like an initiation into like a new life. And then afterwards you have 21 days where you go through a chakra healing, and you spend 3 days on each chakra, and you just start to look at your life and where you need healing still, where you need to do work.
Mm-hmm. This is already a Reiki 2 part.
This is Reiki 1.
This is still Reiki 1.
And then Reiki 2 is you go a little deeper. It's another long day. You get an attunement in both of them. Sometimes.
What means you get an attunement?
You get this tuning fork. Can we stick it on? No.
Sure. I almost believed you.
It's one of those things that, again, okay. And I think we were talking about this earlier. There's a lot of things that you see on the internet and so on and so forth. But there's a hands-on transmission that is done to attune the individual to the symbols to kind of open them up to be able to channel Reiki. So that's what goes on. And that's basically what an attunement is.
So it's in a one-on-one session with a Reiki teacher and...
Well, there can be several prospect. People, but each person is going to get that.
Mm-hmm. From a teacher.
That attunement, yeah, from someone. And Reiki master basically means, I mean, back in the biblical times, a master was a teacher.
Right.
And so anyone who has Reiki master after their name or their title or their group is basically saying that they've taken the additional training to be able to attune other individuals. Okay. When you take Reiki 1 and 2, it's for your own use, and you can use it on other folks. But as she said, you know, with the Reiki 1, that's really about kind of getting your body ready, you know, because as an individual, there are things that you have to kind of like work through and experience. So that's kind of like that little cleansing period. Mm-hmm. A lot of places now do 1 and 2, boom,
in one workshop.
That's not the way I was trained, and I see that's how she wasn't trained. And I think there's a benefit to that, because you kind of allow that first attunement to kind of like get assimilated and absorbed in the body. So because that's part of your own healing. I mean, that's the beautiful thing. As you're doing this, you're also being healed yourself.
Okay.
And so by allowing that energy to kind of like filter through and get in all the nooks and crannies and go through, oh God, why do I feel this way? And is all part of your own release to prepare you for the second series of attunements.
So what is Reiki 2 then?
Reiki 2 is kind of just going deeper, and you're more so focusing on healing other people. But you also get three concepts that you want to start to meditate on and bring into your life. And they're pretty deep concepts about power, emotional awareness, the relativity of time and space. And they're meant to start to lead you on a path. At least that's how I interpret them. They lead you on a path a little bit closer to enlightenment, maybe, if you're lucky.
Hopefully, that's the goal.
Yeah, and it's a really interesting process. Just going back a little bit, I think the importance of actually receiving an attunement and doing a class with a instructor that you trust and you want to work with is a lot of people aren't informed how to practice Reiki in a way where they're not using their own energy or working from ego. So the attunement process really allows you to move in a direction where you are actually accessing energy that isn't from your personal aura or womb or whatever you want to call it.
Wow. That sounds a bit intense. I thought it's a bit more easier.
It's so easy. It's the easiest thing ever.
It's the easiest thing ever.
But if you're practicing anything from the ego, you're going to get exhausted. So if you're going into something and you're like, I'm the best at what I do, eventually if someone tells you that you're not the best, you're going to be wiped out. But if you're just doing it from this like really beautiful, benevolent place, you're never going to be wiped out because you feel like you're doing something for something bigger than yourself.
Right. So in order for you to start practicing Reiki on others, you need to complete Reiki 1 and Reiki 2.
Yes.
But yes,
I would say yes.
Reiki has been around. Maybe we didn't call it Reiki for thousands of years, right? So it's in the Bible. It's in Buddhism. It's all over. Hands-on healing is totally something you can do. I think this particular lineage is more so focusing on how to do that without being a martyr, without suffering, without exhausting yourself. I think that's the main difference between Reiki, the Yasui method of Reiki, and then just laying of hands.
And then what is the Reiki? Because I know that after Reiki 1, Reiki 2, there is also a Reiki master. What is that?
Well, when you take the mat, they have an advanced, depending on where you go, they have advanced Reiki, which gives you the symbols for everything works with symbols. Reiki practice definitely has symbols involved that we won't go into too much detail about, but you have to take the class. but with the master training, what you're taught is, in addition to getting a final series of symbols, you're also learning how to train others to be Reiki practitioners.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So that's really what the master level is. So you can take Reiki 1 and be fine because you really just want to use it on yourself with the types of symbols and training that you get with learning the additional symbols with 2. It allows you not only to work on yourself, but to work on others. There's even a concept of being able to do distance. But again, even I think the other unique thing from my perspective was that not only am I channeling energy when I'm working on someone, I'm also being healed at the same time as well. And
that's beautiful. Can you elaborate on that?
Well, the idea that as kind of being a channel, you're receiving as much benefit from the energy that you're channeling through as the client. And the client is always going to get what they need. And that, again, is a very difficult concept, I think, for most of us to understand, you know, using terms like enlightenment and all of this. I think just to break it down, it's just about feeling right and feeling good, maybe another way to look at it, you know, when kind of take it out of this whole esoteric, very nebulous place and say to a person, by learning this training, you're going to feel better. You're going to learn how to feel better. You're going to understand. And you're going to understand the importance of gratitude in your life. And you're going to learn how to finally kind of be in touch with that part of you that could be in a place, see things going on and going, ew, I got to go. I don't know why, but I just got to go.
Because you feel it.
So, you know, being able to learn and be that attunement kind of helps you also kind of get tuned in to your own innate abilities to be able to be an intuitive, and especially as women, this is our DNA. It's just about kind of like reawakening
Reawakening. Yeah. So it's not even awakening. No. It's a reawakening.
It's a reawakening because it's innately in us, And as each of us is doing what we do, we're kind of tapping into that.
Bose, do you think that absolutely any person is able to be a Reiki healer?
Definitely.
Lorraine is thinking.
No. And I'm not saying she's absolutely right. And this is something that it doesn't matter whether you've taken 100, you know, do the 1,000, you know, sun salutations, you know, you've sat and meditated on the top of a mountain for 21 days, as Yusui supposedly did. Anyone can. I think that the main thing for anyone considering it is intention.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not just boom, you know, I'm a mechanic. There's a responsibility, I think, as healers, as conscious healers, that, yes, we want this to be available to everyone with the understanding that the intention behind has to be about not only healing self, but healing those that you come in contact mm-hmm. from a place of integrity and honesty.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lorraine. I loved how Cole on her website put as a mission, your intention, Cole, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I took it from your website. So it is you want to be a healing guide and to assist in releasing ancestral wounding and lifetime conditioning. Mm. So what do you mean by that?
There's lots of levels to it, but I think a lot of us live our lives and act in a way that we've been taught or we've assumed is true, and we don't necessarily realize that we can start living from this moment, from this moment, from this moment. Mm-hmm. And the more that we accept things like Reiki and receive things like Reiki, we can kind of open our perspective a little bit so that we realize that we're not here just as a byproduct of what has happened in the past, mm-hmm. but we're in this moment creating the future, but we're also just here. And I think for me, that ancestral healing comes from being from a family who suffers from anxiety, depression, addiction, all these things, and deciding I'm not going to be a victim to that conditioning. I want to be a happy person. I want to enjoy my life. I want to go out. I want to speak on, I want to say yes to a podcast thing. And whereas like my grandmother wouldn't leave the house, you know, I could be like everyone else in my family, or I can decide I'm going to heal this. And Reiki really allows for the breadcrumbs of how you can do that.
I'm really glad that you brought up this conversation, because as we briefly spoken in the coffee shop just before the show, I'm personally quite lost in the whole past life, karmic stuff. So when you say that Reiki gives you the power to liberate yourself from the conditioning ancestral lineage that's been following probably your family for quite some time. So it gives you this freedom. Do you feel that you just ignore that the ancestral pain that might be going with you, or Reiki helps you to become aware of it and then let it go?
I think it's more so becoming aware of it and then letting go, because if you ignore it, it's going to sneak up, it's going to come in, and that's just spiritual bypassing, right? We need to feel what we're feeling. We need to actually feel it in order to let it go. Stuffing it down means we just feel it more and we're in denial. Yeah. And then we can sometimes think of this past life thing as this like really, what did we call it? Like nebulous thing, but really your cells hold your family in them. All of their experiences actually have been passed down in some capacity. So the more we bring your body into alignment, the more at ease your body is, the less likely you are to feel the stresses that they went through, because you're not going through their stresses. You're so free. You're living in the best time. And like, yes, there's so many people suffering, but you are fine, but we're still suffering in some capacity. And it's almost this conditioning of thinking that we need to suffer almost to make up for what they went through.
Awesome. Ladies, thank you so much for sharing this. And wow, the time is flying by. I think what I'd like to talk now is how we've spoken about how make Reiki a kind of daily practice and just help yourself to feel better, to be better. How do you make it a business? So how did you go from just trying out Reiki on some of your friends, trying it on yourself? How did you go from that to having Reiki as the primary, as your primary activity and in fact your primary business? I know Cole has two Reiki companies that are quite successful in Brooklyn, and you, Lorraine, you also teaching
in the Bronx.
Reiki in the Bronx. So would you like to share that, how that professional journey of a Reiki healer evolved for you?
For me, I think I kind of got to a point where I wanted to work with more people than just my inner circle. I was very fortunate that I had a friend who, her name is Terry, is a massage therapist in Montclair, New Jersey. And she offered me her space as a place to see some of her clients. She did deep tissue massage, and she said, you know, I've had Reiki with you. I think some of my clients would benefit. Mm-hmm. How would you like to do it? Because I never really thought of it. And I would say that aspect really took hold about five or six years ago.
Okay.
Up until then, it was like a side thing. It wasn't like a money thing. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't even ask people for money or you know, give me what you want. But that opportunity allowed me to meet different people, people that I didn't know, to kind of test, you know, what my feelings about what they were going through in terms of the process that they were experiencing, and being able to take them through it and have them say, oh my God, you know, I feel different, or I have never been this relaxed, or, you know, this memory came up for me, but now I feel better, whatever. But that was kind of the start of it. Mm-hmm. And I worked from there, and then I started, you know, I've been very, very blessed that I have, and my spirit guides, all of them just coming in to help, that I've been fortunate to have been involved with a lot of wonderful people that refer their friends and family to me. My prayer, you know, for this new year is to actually find a space, but right now through referrals,
word of mouth works.
Pray and the word of mouth.
Best marketing tools.
I see clients in my house. And I find that the other beautiful thing about this is that I think the people that are meant to come to us, you know, there's a community of people that are going to go to her. There are those that are going to come to me. Like, there's always room for more healers in the world, and finding people that you can resonate with to be able to assist you in your own growth and development is the beauty of this.
Yeah. Thank you so much for bringing this up, because that's what I wanted to ask. Have you... either of you had an experience when you didn't really like you weren't able to help a person, or there was no connect with a person, or the effect wasn't as clear and evident as in others?
This is like kind of hard to talk about, but something that you learn while you're healing as a healer is boundaries. And I've definitely had situations where I've undercharged clients, and then they started to come too often, and it almost felt overbearing. So really needing to kind of make sure that I'm charging enough that I'm not overly accessible to people, but not charging so much that I'm not accessible at all is a big thing. Mm-hmm. So the only time I've ever had that feeling of like not being able to work with someone is when I've kind of not asserted my value or understood my value in a situation. Mm-hmm. So it was something I did, not really the person. It was coming from like a misstep.
But the other part is one of the things that is also part of your training is that we can't be emotionally connected to what you're going to experience. We have to allow that process. And I think that's really how we learn to kind of like step our ego back. I can want everybody to walk out of my, get off my table and go, oh my God, I feel reborn. But I can't be attached to that, because the other beauty of Reiki is that each individual is going to get what they need to get. And if a person, I've never really had an experience where someone said, absolutely not. Mm-hmm. At the very least, they said, oh, I had a good nap. And I'm like, you know what? Then that was what you needed. Because not everybody's going to get it instantaneously. Sometimes folks have needed a couple of days to then go, oh, okay, you know what? I didn't realize, but I had this experience, or I'm feeling this mm-hmm. way since we did it. So,
the biggest
part of Reiki, which again, in a society that is so bent on ego and I'm the best and blah, 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 Reiki is one of those areas. And when you're talking about healing and spirituality, where each individual is going to get what it is that they need at that moment in time. And as the healers, all we can do is kind of...
And you don't take it personally.
Yeah, and that again is a big lesson in terms of ego, is being able to go, okay, I know, you know, that I'm guided, and one of the Reiki principles is that you're doing your very best. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So all I can do is do my very best to make the experience what it needs. Where you're at in your head, whether you're really... at a point in your life where you're ready to accept that change or whatever, I have no control over that. But mm-hmm. all I can do is kind of be a kind of a doorway. Here's the door. The curtain's been lifted. This is what it feels okay. like. If you don't feel it today, maybe you'll feel mm-hmm. it tomorrow. And hopefully a year from now, because I've had people that disappear for a year or 2 years and go, mm-hmm. you know, I'm ready now. So mm-hmm. I think, it's not about a person not absolutely feeling. I like to look at it more as they're not ready. Mm-hmm. They need to go through a little bit more. But again, I can't be emotionally attached that you're going to feel wonderful if that's not really the
that's
particular thing
that's
at that
know.
Moment in time.
Yeah, that's good to know, because I feel like with me personally, sometimes I do a practice, not necessarily Reiki. Let's say I did a breath work, right? My first breath work, I didn't feel anything, and I spent 6 hours and I felt nothing, and I paid $300 and I was so disappointed. And then I did a 30 minute breath work a year later, and I was crying, and just I felt it was coming out, the emotions were coming off me, and I was releasing. So yeah, the timing is perfect, is crucial. And also I feel like with any practice, you need to give it a try at least a few times before you make a judgment. Cole, could you speak a bit of the Root Mama and Glowing Heart, the two products of yours?
Sure. So Glowing Heart Reiki is a Reiki school that kind of developed organically after I did that mastership training. I had been teaching yoga and doing Reiki assists for a while. And once I started teaching Reiki classes, they kind of blew up. And I had a few students that were kind of wanting to continue learning with me. And it made me realize that we kind of started a thing. And then Glowing Heart Reiki is that. So I teach Reiki 1, 2, and then I teach a Reiki 3 class, which kind of prepares you for the mastership. So in the Reiki 3A, I call it, you learn the master symbol, but without the pressure to be a teacher. So you can start to kind of work with this higher energy and learn a little bit more, but you don't have to go on to be a teacher. And then I have a mastership apprenticeship that takes about 6 months. That includes one-on-one time where we can trade Reiki sessions, the idea is where the healer is a healed healer. That's my goal. And each of the students has a passion project, because I want them to kind of accompany the Reiki with something that they really love, so they're not relying on Reiki too much financially. So they, you know, like I want them to not feel pressure to make it work. I want it to work from like a heart-centered place. And then Root Mama is kind of where the Glowing Heart Reiki lives. Root Mama is just a project. It's a women's healing arts collective, and it's the idea of co-working with other women, collaborating with other women who are in the healing arts and who might not want to work in a more corporate setting, or who have worked in yoga studios and haven't liked how that's turned out. And we try to make sure that all the women who use our space take home more than we do, and we just try to make sure that they can be as free and as authentic as possible.
That's beautiful. I also know that I think on Sundays, you guys, from 4 to 6, you have this community Reiki practice.
Mm-hmm.
What is that?
So we have two. So there's Reiki shares from 4 to 6 once a month, and then we have community Reiki once a month from 4 to 6. For community Reiki, it's for people who are kind of interested in Reiki but don't want to bite off $100 for a 60-minute session. So it kind of ripens you for the Reiki practice. So you come, you get a 20-minute Reiki session, sometimes by multiple Reiki practitioners,
wow.
and it's sliding scale $1 to $20. So if you have no money, just gather 4 quarters and come. And it's a really lovely way to make it accessible. And it's also, to be honest, a way to make sure that I don't have to compromise myself to make it accessible to other people. I can have this one offering a month and make sure that those who need it can get it.
So New Yorkers, yeah. Listen up. When is it again?
The next one is actually on June 24th from 4 to 6 p.m. at Root Mama.
That's Root Mama, yeah. You all wrote it down? This is What is Love on Radio Free Brooklyn. We're talking about Reiki and specifically about how accessible Reiki session can be for y'all to try it and to really learn how to tap into your inner self and to just, you know, live a better life. I guess that all comes down to that, to live a better and happier life. Well, we only have five minutes left, so it's still have some time. I wanted to ask two questions. One, what is the craziest or most inspiring healing story that each of you have experienced with your own session? Basically, you know, I don't know if some clients came to you and said specifically, oh, I'm going through healing my childhood trauma, or I'm healing my broken heart, I'm healing my, you know, I lost a loved one, and then through your practice, you were able to help them. So have you had any real inspiring stories in your, each of them?
I think it can be so much more subtle than that. And we sometimes want it to be super flashy and like, oh, I'm such a good healer. And like, I did all that. Mm-hmm. But really, all we're doing is making people a little bit more comfortable in their body. And that's huge.
It is huge.
But I do have two students that also do Reiki with me. And one of which was very much convinced that she would never find someone as a partner. And another that just was very much convinced that they were kind of like moving across the country. And then through Reiki, they found each other and they're like the most in love and beautiful couple. One of the one was convinced that she only wanted to date women and the other doesn't identify as a man. And they just weren't looking at all for each other. And they, through Reiki, this like miracle happened where they found each other. And it's just little things like that, where if the more comfortable you are, the more open you are, the more the healing, the magic, the miracles start to happen.
Wow. It is beautiful. Are they, do you follow their story?
Yeah, I think you actually asked them to do this show.
Oh, that's them. Oh, Zach and mm-hmm. Sarah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Actually, Zach and Sarah, they are now on the love retreat this weekend. And I hope you guys are enjoying it. And just bless your tree, bless your journey. Lots of love, lots of joy, lots of magic. And yeah, maybe you'll come to my show next time when you're in town. Lorraine, what about you?
I have had some, I've been fortunate, I guess, or that I have had some situations with clients where they've come in with physical ailments, two in particular, that had issues with fibroids. And through the Reiki, they were able to see one, I mean, you know, that chakra is our creativity, it's part of our strength, especially as when, the mm-hmm. abdomen or sacral, I mm-hmm. don't always say correctly. But anyway, we were doing, and one in particular, her fibroids were so large. So as part of the Reiki session, and she would come like every 2 weeks, she was going to have a procedure. And the idea was kind of one, releasing whatever it was that she was holding on to in this area that may have been a factor. And in addition, doing a visualization of kind of like seeing them get smaller. And let's face it, the power of the mind over the body.
Oh my God.
Which is why, you know, when you can get all that negative and ego and things, mm-hmm. you kind of open up an atomic resource that's underutilized. Yep. But through our sessions, we were able to do that. And initially, you know, she was told that she might even lose her uterus because the fibroids were embedded. And through our sessions by the time she did go get her surgery. And plus, she also knows Reiki. So it was like, you know, keep sending that energy there and releasing and letting go and imagine everything getting smaller. And they were able to actually remove some really large fibroids without having to remove her uterus, which was her big thing. She didn't want to lose that part of herself. That's one of my more dramatic. And I have someone else that had a facial tumor. At the end of the day, again, I think how healing takes place for a lot of people has to do with, one, what they're ready for, two, what they need to look at to kind of release. And sometimes healing may not necessarily be that, you know, you got cured of whatever, in this case, the fibroids, but the what went on in your head to kind of even change how you view your body. And that in and of itself becomes a process healing. That allows a kind of healing that can take place, which is extremely powerful. So it's about kind of, you know, what Reiki also allows us to do is to kind of like reprogram how we think, how we look at our bodies, and how we start to kind of like take control of being able to channel that kind of energy within ourselves that kind of helps us get back in alignment and be who we are supposed to be to do the things that we put on the planet to do.
Wow, that's beautiful.
Yeah, I think just understanding what Reiki is so good for is helping us access ourselves on a mental, physical, emotional, and spiritual level. So a lot of us, if we are sick, we're only living in the material world for some reason, or we're caught in our thoughts, or we've been feeling the wrong feeling for way too long, or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And Reiki allows us to just quiet a little bit so that the truth can come out.
So it's in a way also a form of meditation, because you do quiet your mind and you let the energy heal your body without you controlling it necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Well, ladies, we only have 2 minutes left. So, Lorraine, where Radio Free Brooklyn audience can find you?
Well, they can check me out. I have a website. It's called AmberRadianceReiki.com.
Mm-hmm.
I do offer classes and treatments, but you can hopefully now I'll get jump started into getting back into keeping my website going. But
and you also work with crystals, as I understand.
Yes, I do. I incorporate crystals. I do a form of shamanic Reiki, which is a whole other thing. But basically, it's about incorporating crystals to help open up the chakras.
Okay.
So it just kind of like helps. I find the crystals just kind of also help amplify the energy a little.
Okay.
And also, if you look at the chakras, all of our major organs follow our chakra line, as does our endocrine system. So there are so many things that we're working on when we're working with our chakras and Reiki, and the crystals also help kind of.
So yes, guys, go to Amber Radiance Reiki and schedule a session with Lorraine and learn more about chakras and crystals and get your healing. And Cole, what about you? How we all can find you?
My personal website is livinglifeintuitively.com. The Reiki school is glowingheartreiki.com, and the women's collective is rootmama.com.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for coming.
But thank you, Sasha, for giving us this platform and this opportunity and following your gut instinct to even present this material. Thank you.
Thank you for asking these kind of questions.
I'm so happy to have you here, and I hope our audience have enjoyed this and learned more about Reiki and the benefits and the accessibility of this really fundamental and beautiful energy healing. Guys, have fun this Sunday. Get some rest. Get attuned and stay with Radio Free Brooklyn. We have another show coming up, and I'm going to go and watch Brazil kicking butt with whom? I think they play with probably with Sweden. Well, enjoy a Sunday afternoon, y'all.